Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Christ's Resurrection of Life Body. Welcome. I'm going to be sharing from the book of Daniel. I intended to be sharing from what are listed as being the 11th and 12th chapters of the book of Daniel. I simply don't think I will get nearly as far as I had hoped because I am going to be touching on portions of what are listed as the 9th and 10th chapters of the book of Daniel, as well as the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. But to begin in what are listed as the 9th and 10th chapters of the book of Daniel. Understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, while the Lord God Almighty spoke to Daniel by his angel, Gabriel, and said to him, understand the matter and consider the vision. Daniel may well have had clear understanding of this. I cannot claim to. There are some who do claim to, but as I've said before, concerning time, it is very elastic, for lack of a better way to put it. It's like when they speak of funds being fungible, that can be used for various different purposes. Well, here, time, what's being referred to as weeks are clearly not weeks. And clearly not years either. And how much time is actually involved, this is mystery from God. And God chooses to conceal it. And it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. And it is written in Proverbs that it is a glory for kings to search out a matter. I believe it's written. But search as I might, and I have heard what some knowledgeable ones have had to say, I just don't happen to to be persuaded regarding there being some definitive answer for this that we have available to us. when Jesus Christ said concerning the end times, he said this to his apostles, that no man knoweth the day of his coming, not even him, not even the Son of Man, but God Almighty, God the Father only. If God the Father only knows the appointed hour and day and month and year, I cannot pretend to imagine to know with any kind of specificity. But, and this is in the end portion of what is listed as being the ninth chapter of Daniel. But to go back over this, and then on to Ezra and Nehemiah, and then on to what is listed as being the 10th chapter of the book of Daniel. And perchance, a wee bit into what is listed as being the 11th chapter. That is my hope, that I will make it into partway through the 11th chapter, what is designated as the 11th chapter. But to go back over this, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to make the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy, Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords, to anoint him. To make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, some would say, I imagine, that all that would be necessary to fulfill that passage would be for Jesus, very man, very God, to be born on this earth. And others would say, well, it would be necessary for him to be born and to carry out his ministry and to suffer in our place as the atonement for all who should choose to receive him as their Savior and Lord, for him to suffer, die, be resurrected, and ascended into heaven. And that's all that would be necessary, not to diminish the gravity, the magnitude of that. But I don't know that it ends there. I'm not convinced that it ends there. I'm not convinced that that is all that is being said, all that needs to happen here in order for this to be fulfilled. I think it is entirely possible that it goes beyond even that, and that it brings us up to the return of the Lord. But the next passages, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Now, this commandment to restore, it has been stated by person or persons that this pertains to what Cyrus, the king of Persia, stated, commanded. But I think they err. I believe what is being referred to as the commandment to restore is God's commandment, not man's. And they could say, well, as far as Cyrus commanding it, it is inspired by God. Absolutely. But nonetheless, I believe when it says that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, it is referring explicitly to the commandment from God Almighty. And so then we have additional possibility of passage of time between the time God gives the commandment and the time that Cyrus, king of Persia, makes this proclamation in what is listed as being the first chapter of the book of Ezra, the priest and scribe. It says, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled." Because Jeremiah foretold this, because God gave him this prophecy, "The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem." Now this kingdom of Cyrus, king of Persia, is a vast, rich kingdom. It is the principally majority of this kingdom is the former kingdom of the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, Nebuchadnezzar. The kingdom which Cyrus the Mede, the Median, Darius the Mede, the Median, took from Belshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, also known as Nebuchadrezzar. This is the kingdom. However, the kings of the Medes and the Persians, in addition to further consolidating that kingdom, have continued to push the boundaries and expand it. It is a vast empire, stretching across the Middle East, Central Asia, and to Southwest and South Asia. But still, Cyrus, doing God's bidding, make no mistake of it, he is serving God, he is honoring God, he is obeying God, he is doing God's work. But in making this proclamation, in the extent of the proclamation, in backing it up, in bringing this about, in allowing these captive peoples not only to return to the land of their nativity, the Holy Land, but enriching them, empowering them, facilitating them, protecting them. But when he says that the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, again, there is something of an exaggeration there, because there are other kingdoms on the face of the earth that are not included within this vast empire. Elsewhere in God's word, the name Cyrus comes up as a name used to refer to Jesus. Not here, but elsewhere. Even as the name of Levi is also used elsewhere in Malachi to refer to Jesus. But here we have Cyrus, king of Persia, making this proclamation, making this pronouncement, or you could say giving this commandment. But again, I believe that this is not really what the word of God meant with regard to commandment to restore, but rather the word from God Almighty himself. Pardon me with regard to this about Darius, because I had that on my mind, because there is Darius the Mede who took the kingdom from the Babylonians, and then subsequent to that, after the Persians have succeeded the Medes, it's kind of a joint empire. But then there is a Persian king named Darius. But back now to this in what is listed as being the ninth chapter of Daniel. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Indeed, he was cut off for us. He laid down his life, an atonement for us. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. This prince that shall come is evil. And he, that prince, this evil prince, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. I know the wording, he shall confirm the covenant. And here we've just heard about the Messiah. It's not pertaining to confirming any covenant of Jesus. This is a very different thing. And he, this prince, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst, in the middle somewhere of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. The abomination of desolation, this evil prince shall bring in. But this is the timeline we have. 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And then we have another week after that. From the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And then the next line, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, which I think is very confusing and mysterious because it's supposed to be 7 weeks and 62 weeks to the Messiah. But then it says, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. So I would think it would be after 7 weeks and 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. But then after Messiah is cut off, this prince shall come. And then after this prince comes and wages war and destroys the city and the sanctuary, then another week will begin sometime after that. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. This idea that we can have some definitive idea concerning the amount of time passing here, I think is absolutely ridiculous. But some seem to think that they do have a grasp of this. I, for one, don't believe it. We have a passage of time from the time Messiah is cut off until the prince comes and destroys the city and the sanctuary. Then we have another week begin. And somewhere in the midst of that week, we have the abomination of desolation. God fast forwards through time, through ages. One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. How we're supposed to grasp that? We're not supposed to grasp it, frankly. But going back to this matter, too, of the commandment to build, to restore Jerusalem. Going back to Ezra, what is listed as being the fourth chapter, it says, then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia, which, again, is why I misspoke with regard to Cyrus, king of Persia. So Cyrus gave the initial proclamation, pronouncement, or commandment, if you will. Then Artaxerxes, in his 20th year, he gives permission for Nehemiah to go to Jerusalem. Nehemiah, who shall serve as governor. But then the wicked princes and what have you, around and about, the enemies of the Jews, the enemies of the Hebrews, they write to King Artaxerxes and they tell him, they bring up an evil report against Jerusalem and they frighten him, they concern him, so he sends a letter to them, empowering them to stop the work, to shut it down completely. And according to Ezra, the priest, the scribe, it ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. And I imagine some people might get creative and say, okay, Darius, king of Persia, is the one who gave the command. No, the initial commandment was via Cyrus, king of Persia, but it was given to him by God Almighty, by God's Holy Ghost, and or God's angel. But he served as God's instrument, as God's messenger, and as God's instrument in facilitating this, in enabling this to take place. That is high praise for a king. With there being so many wicked kings, so many evil kings in the history of Israel, over the divided kingdoms of Judah and Israel, and preceding that, you could say, Solomon was an atrocious king, whether you beg to differ or not. But lo and behold, here, Cyrus the Persian, is used by God, among others. And then later, Darius the Persian, who is named after Darius the Mede. But now, back to what is listed in this case as the 10th chapter. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, or Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. So, this prince of Persia, the prince of the kingdom of Persia, this is a different matter from the kings. In the same passage or paragraph, he says, I remained there with the kings, plural, kings of Persia, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. So spiritual power over the Persian kingdom withstood the Lord God Almighty, stood against the Lord God Almighty, and Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. So within the Persian kingdom, the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, there were those who served God, who aided and abetted the purposes, the plans, the promises of God. And there were those who opposed God and his will. And there were those who were in the mushy middle. King Ahasuerus, who allowed himself, willingly allowed himself to be used to give permission to slaughter and annihilate all Hebrew people throughout the kingdom. Willingly. Gave his agreement to that. Gave his resources for that. Paid for it. Gave his approval. Gave his backing. Gave his wealth to be used to accomplish that. And sat down and celebrated with he who was behind it, who had thought this up. But then, because of Esther, Hadassah, and her uncle Mordecai, he gave his permission very passively. In this case, he gives his permission. He allows them, allows Mordecai to send letters empowering the Hebrew people to defend themselves. So King Ahasuerus did not send his armies and his sheriffs and so forth and pay for that, send them to defend the Hebrews, the Jews, and to attack those who intended to annihilate them. But instead, he merely allows the Hebrews to defend themselves. Whoop, big whoop. But that was a big deal because, after all, in places like the United States of America, not to mention all the rest of the free world, people can be prevented from defending themselves by unconstitutional abridgments of constitutional foundational laws, and can be sued and punished for defending themselves. So it was a big deal, but it was still a very weak, weak response. He should have been shocked, alarmed, appalled at himself. As Darius, I believe it was Darius. I need to go back and look. Could swear it was Darius. Yes, Darius. As Darius the Mede was when he realized how horribly and inexcusably he had blundered, truly inexcusably, in allowing himself to be conned into causing Daniel to be condemned. But here, again, in what is listed as being the 10th chapter, it says, "Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince." So, previously in this portion of scripture, we are told that the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, we're told, wherefore I come unto thee. Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. So now do you understand? He's saying, this angel saying to Daniel, now do you understand why I have come unto thee? Now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. This prince, this satanic power that is controlling the kingdom of Persia, that is withstanding God, opposing God, now this angel returns from having spoken to Daniel. He returns to fight with, to war with the prince of Persia. Not the kings, but the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia or Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. And now in what is listed as being the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel. Also I in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. And now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia or Grecia. And a mighty king shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not to his posterity, nor according to his dominion which he ruled. For his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others beside those. And the king of the south shall be strong, and one of his princes. And he shall be strong above him and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion. And in the end of years they shall join themselves together, for the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement. But she shall not retain the power of the arm, neither shall he stand nor his arm. But she shall be given up, and they that brought her, and he that begat her, and he that strengthened her in these times. But out of a branch of her roots shall one stand up in his estate, which shall come with an army, and shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north, and shall deal against them, and shall prevail. And shall also carry captives into Egypt their gods, with their princes, and with their precious vessels of silver and of gold. And he shall continue more years than the king of the north. But the king of the south shall come into his kingdom, and shall return into his own land. But his sons shall be stirred up and shall assemble a multitude of great forces, and one shall certainly come and overflow and pass through. Then shall he return and be stirred up even to his fortress. And the king of the south shall be moved with choler, and shall come forth and fight with him, even with the king of the north. And he shall set forth a great multitude, but the multitude shall be given into his hand. And when he hath taken away the multitude, his heart shall be lifted up, and he shall cast down many 10,000s, but he shall not be strengthened by it. For the king of the north shall return, and shall set forth a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come after certain years with a great army and with much riches. And in those times there shall many stand up against the king of the south. Also the robbers of thy people shall exalt themselves to establish the vision, but they shall fall. So the king of the north shall come and cast up a mount and take the most fenced cities. And the arms of the south shall not withstand, neither his chosen people. Neither shall there be any strength to withstand. But he that cometh against him shall do according to his own will, and none shall stand before him. And he shall stand in the glorious land, which by his hand shall be consumed. He shall also set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom, and upright ones with him. Thus shall he do, and he shall give him the daughter of women corrupting her. But she shall not stand on his side, neither before him. After this shall he turn his face unto the isles, and shall take many, but a prince for his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. Without his own reproach he shall cause it to turn upon him. Then he shall turn his face toward the fort of his own land, but he shall stumble and fall and not be found. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom. But within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. Now I'm only halfway or so through what is listed as being the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel. But I'm going to stop there and go back to the beginning, and come through it. And then depending on whether there's any time left in this message, I will continue if possible. But I don't believe so. I believe I'll be saving the rest of what is listed as the 11th chapter of Daniel, of the book of Daniel, and the 12th chapter for another message. So, also I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him, says the angel of the Lord. So this angel of the Lord who is returning to fight with the prince of Persia, not the kings per se, but the prince of Persia, this satanic power over the kingdom, the vast empire of the Medes and Persians. He also says he is gone forth. When I am gone forth, the prince of Grecia shall come. But what a difference in the first year of Darius the Mede, who overthrew the kingdom, the empire of the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, who took that kingdom. This angel of the Lord stood to confirm and to strengthen him. Not to battle with him. Not to war with him. As he is having to do with this evil supernatural power, devils, over the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, but he stood to confirm and to strengthen Darius the Mede. And now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia. There are yet to be three kings over the Persian Empire, the empire of the Medes and Persians, formerly of the Babylonians, but now also expanded somewhat. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. I don't know if that means far richer than any individual one of them or far richer than all of them put together. But the fourth shall be the richest. And as such, by extension, you would think would be able to wield the most power. Not always the case, but by any means. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. He shall use his wealth to go to war against Grecia, against Grecia, against Greece. And a mighty king shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. None other than Alexander the Great of Greece, of the Grecians, formerly of Macedonia. He shall stand up, he shall rise up, he shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will, and overthrow the kingdom, the vast empire of the Medes and the Persians, and expand it, and change it, and transform it. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken. That gets a little confusing. When he shall stand up, it's true that his time as king was brief, comparatively brief. But it lasted for years, nonetheless. And he warred across this vast empire. So when he shall stand up, there is a passage of time there. When he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken. It doesn't say that he shall be broken. It says his kingdom shall be broken, which is further confusing because it was not broken up until after his demise. But things happened very quickly after his death because there was no official line of succession. Alexander had managed to kill off any number of close friends, friends like that, who could have been leader in his place. But when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven. Indeed, there were four competing leaders who took different portions of the kingdom and sought to unify the kingdom under themselves. His kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not to his posterity, not for his heir. Not to his posterity, his wife and child were murdered, nor according to his dominion which he ruled. Can mean different things here. But Alexander's way of ruling, manner of ruling, was one thing, and it was not going to continue. What took place, what immediately preceded his death? What was one signature event that took place immediately before his death? His decision, his pronouncement, his actions, showing forth that he was going to rebuild Babylon and rule from Babylon. So what's the problem? Well, it was diametrically contrary to God's will. But that was according to his dominion. And with his death, that stopped, dead in its tracks. So then, these competing interests looked to rule from Egypt, to rule from Greece, and so forth. But his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others beside those. And these competing leaders war against one another, murder one another, murder his wife and child. And this empire, this kingdom, becomes the Roman Empire. Even for others beside those. And the king of the south shall be strong, and one of his princes. And it gets very confusing with all of the he's. And he shall be strong above him. The king of the north shall be strong above the king of the south, and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion. And in the end of years, they shall join themselves together, or that's the plan. For the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement. That's right, to seal this peace agreement. The king of the south marries off his daughter to the king of the north, but she shall not retain the power of the arm, neither shall he stand, nor his arm, her father, but she shall be given up, and they that brought her, and he that begat her, and he that strengthened her in these times. So the king of the north has other ideas. To use her, to get at her father, murder her father, so forth. but out of a branch of her roots shall one stand up in his estate, which shall come with an army and shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north and shall deal against them and shall prevail, and shall also carry captives into Egypt. Their gods shall take their gods, right? Their figurine gods and so forth, back to Egypt, of all places, with their princes and with their precious vessels of silver and of gold. And he shall continue, this king of the south, this new king of the south, shall continue more years than the king of the north. So the king of the south shall come into the kingdom, into his kingdom, the kingdom of the north, and shall return into his own land, into the kingdom of the south. But his sons, the sons of the king of the north, shall be stirred up and shall assemble a multitude of great forces, and one shall certainly come and overflow and pass through. Then shall he return and be stirred up. He shall come to the kingdom of the south, strike, raid. You might think of like the Vikings and their raids. And then be, he's stirred up. Well, instead of finishing his warfare against the king of the south, he returns to his fortress. This king of the north, one of the sons of the former king of the north. And the king of the south, this new king of the south, who is actually a grandson of the former king of the south, shall be moved with choler and shall come forth and fight with him, with the king of the north, even with the king of the north. And he shall set forth a great multitude. The king of the north shall set forth a great multitude, but the multitude shall be given into his hand, into the hand of the king of the south. And when he, the king of the south, hath taken away the multitude, his heart shall be lifted up, and he shall cast down many 10,000s more shall be slain. But he, the king of the south, shall not be strengthened by it. For the king of the north shall return and shall set forth a multitude greater than the former. He has multitudes and multitudes of soldiers at his disposal. And so he gathers together a greater army, a vaster army, greater than the former, and shall certainly come after certain years with a great army and with much riches with which to pay that army and provide for them. And in those times there shall many stand up against the king of the south, also the robbers of thy people shall exalt themselves to establish the vision, but they shall fall. Robbers of thy people, I can't help but think of the Amalekites in particular. But those robbers of thy people shall fall. So the king of the north shall come and cast up a mount and take the most defensed cities of the south, and the arms of the south shall not withstand, neither his, that is the king of the south's, chosen people, chosen armies, chosen soldiers, neither shall there be any strength to withstand. But he that cometh, the king of the north, he that cometh against him, against the king of the south, shall do according to his own will, and none shall stand before him. And he shall stand in the glorious land, also referred to as the pleasant land, also the holy land, which by his hand shall be consumed. He shall destroy the holy land, this king of the north. He shall also set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom, and upright ones with him. He isn't upright. The king of the north isn't upright, but he has some within his army who are. And who are high ranking. Thus shall he do, and he shall give him the daughter of women. Now who the he is that is giving him the daughter of women, I don't know. And I take it that the daughter of women here is Jerusalem, but again, I don't know. Thus shall he do, and he shall give him the daughter of women, corrupting her. But she shall not stand on his side, neither be for him. After this shall he turn his face unto the isles, and shall take many. But a prince for his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. So one of these upright ones, who is a prince, he shall take away the reproach. He shall cause the reproach offered by this king of the north to cease. He shall bring it to an end. Without his own reproach, he shall cause it to turn upon him. This reproach shall turn upon the king of the north. Then he, the king of the north, shall turn his face toward the fort of his own land, but he shall stumble and fall and not be found. He shall die on his way back to the fort of the north, of his kingdom of the north. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes. A successor shall take his place, and he shall be a raiser of taxes, notably in the glory of the kingdom. But within few days, a brief passage of time, brief period of time, brief rule, he shall be destroyed neither in anger nor in battle, perhaps by disease. And in his estate, we have a very, very dangerous one rise. Now you might think, based on this, that we're still way back in time. Millennia and millennia back in time. We're back in the early centuries, right? Following the death of the Lord. Surely we're clear back there. Well, maybe not. And I will continue with this in the next message. At this point, Heavenly Father, Holy God, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, fill us with thy wisdom. Holy God, anoint us with thy Holy Ghost. Baptize us with thy Holy Ghost. Grant us understanding. Clear spiritual insight, clear spiritual vision. Teach us and instruct us and cause us to understand what is so very near at hand, what is coming and nearly here. In Christ Jesus' name, who lives, who reigns, who's coming again sooner than we think. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And account us worthy to stand before thee at thy coming. In Jesus' name, amen.